play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh.
I think it appropriate to this scenario that I quote Jean-Paul Sartre. Every existing thing is born without reason, prolongs itself out of weakness, and dies by chance. We're about to begin a very disturbing Delta Green scenario entitled Lover in the Ice. It was written by Caleb Stokes. The first page of this scenario gives us a warning that it contains violence, strong language, and adult themes. If you find this kind of content offensive, please enjoy one of our less harrowing tales. I'll give you a moment to decide. In the meantime, let's introduce our cast of players. They are Lucas Glasshauer. Say hi, Lucas. Okay, he waved. Corey Heisted.
I'm Lucas. Nice to meet you, everybody. Hello.
Corey Heisted.
Hi.
Bill Mize.
Hey, Avial.
Mick Swan.
Hello.
Jeff Wilkins. And Wayne Worthy. Still with us? Good. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. For 3 days, the local news was dominated by a disaster. On January 2nd, 2017, an apocalyptic ice storm struck LaFontaine, Missouri. An extreme cold front from the northeast caused a 30-degree drop in ground temperature over a matter of hours. Simultaneously, humidity reached 100%, and a torrential thunderstorm blanketed the region. The rain, already barely above freezing, coated everything in layer upon layer of ice. Roofs collapsed under the tremendous weight. Trees literally exploded as sap froze and expanded in their trunks, and branches were sheared off and came crashing down on anything below. Power was out. Transformers shorted and fell flaming from their poles. Cars, not crushed by falling debris, skidded off the impassable roads or froze up completely where they were parked under 4 inches of solid ice. Flights in and out of the area were canceled. The governor declared LaFontaine a disaster area and put out a call for national assistance. But the ice and continuing winter weather prevented the dispatch of relief services. That was what happened on January 2nd. On the afternoon of January 5th, you received a phone call. You recognized the number before you even answered as one of half a dozen numbers arranged ahead of time by Delta Green. The person on the other end confirmed your identity and followed this by saying, "You have won a night at the opera. The event is set for 11:45 p.m. in the private TSA conference room at Lambert Airport, St. Louis, Missouri. Come prepared, don't be late." And with that, the person hung up. That gave you a few hours to prepare and drive to the airport. Once you had arrived at the airport, you parked in your usual area and made your way to the TSA office. One of the officers let you into the conference room, where you joined 5 other agents and your handler, DHS Special Agent Patrick Hill. That probably wasn't his real name, but that's what you knew him by. Okay, now that you are all here, let's get started. We have a situation in LaFontaine that needs to be looked into. No doubt you've been following the disaster on the news. Normally, this sort of thing wouldn't have anything to do with us, and it really doesn't. Those poor bastards ain't our concern. The problem is this. Back before 9/11, pretty much everything that Delta Green did was out in the field. Agents functioned in and out of green boxes, distributed all over the place, and that was good enough for the most part. But sometime around 2002, our organization went into transition. They reorganized. A team was put together in order to repurpose assets from the old group into the new program. At least that was the idea. To my understanding, they did a kind of a cost-risk analysis based on the needs of the moment and the proposed 2003 budget. In any case, it was decided that moving things out of unsecured private storage and into secure official locations just wasn't worth it. I don't know if it was because the contents were too volatile, or if they didn't trust the transition, or maybe they just couldn't find a fucking truck. I don't know. I wasn't there. But one of those storage sites is in La Fontaine. Basically, they installed an alarm on the door. They got some friendly from the utility company to keep an eye on the place. Skip Mills is his name. They gave him some bullshit about maintaining a secret counterterrorism storage site or something. Do it for God and country. The typical patriotic, make your life matter sort of bullcrap. Anyways, he was strictly observe and report. He never had a key as far as I know. I guess the idea was that we would come back to the box after a few months when things settled down. Well, it's been a few months. It's been 15 years, to be exact. The storage unit is located at Earl's Rent-A-Space, Unit 0171. It's a wonder nothing's happened before this. Anyway, the site is designated GB224, Green Box 224. Okay, the ice storm hit the city on the 2nd, and the security alarm sent an alarm to someplace way above my position and reported a breach. And thanks to some outdated technology, nobody in Signals picked up the damn thing until 2 days later, and that's when they dragged my ass out of bed. So I check, and there are no agents in the field anywhere within 1,000 miles in all directions. The only reason you guys are here is because you're the closest in proximity. I tried getting hold of this friendly, but not only are the lines down, but the cell towers as well. I honestly don't know if Mills was even on the silent alarm call list or not. In any case, we can't get a hold of him. Hell, I can't get a hold of anybody in La Fontaine. Power is out in most places. Anyway, we're blind out there. And for all we know, the door to GB224 has been wide open for going on a week. And here's the biggest clusterfuck of all. We don't know what's inside. Apparently the files or records never got closed. We haven't been able to determine anything except that the green box was breached. Who placed it, which agents were involved 15 years ago, not a clue. To be honest, we don't know if this guy Mills is even on the level. He could be a flake. So, your mission is to secure the contents of the green box. Take an inventory. See if you think anything might be missing. See if you can locate this guy Mills. See what he knows. Find out why he didn't report the breach. And remember, he doesn't actually know anything about Delta Green. If he's doing things by the book, he's probably going to ask you something like, what's the old thing? Do you want to go to the goddamn movies? Your response should be something like, only if you let me pay for the milk duds. Oh, I won't be going with you. I have been up for 2 days trying to find you transport and set things up. I got you a ride with a National Guard disaster relief convoy. It leaves in about 15 minutes. Your cover is that you are part of an oversight group working for FEMA. That makes you watchers, not workers. But for God's sake, don't abuse the cover. The legend is paper thin, and I can't for the life of me think of why anyone would put the six of you in a room together, but it's the best I could come up with on this short notice. The paperwork that you'll need is on the table there. Space for you squared away with the city utilities company where Mills works. Fuck knows I spent all day trying to get somebody on the radio. Finally, if there's something out there, do what needs to be done. Text me if you need something, but keep those messages clean and coded. I'll do what I can from here, but there's 100 miles of solid ice around you in every direction and more alphabet soup agencies and media in the theater than you can shake a stick at. So don't expect miracles. Hell, don't expect anything at all. You're pretty much on your own. Any questions?
Wow. That's... Skip me. Is he an agent?
Does the paperwork include relevant ID?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Skip Mills is a friendly. He doesn't know anything about Delta Green at all. Like I say, we just lied to him and told him that he needed to report, you know, just keep an eye on the green box. At least that's what the report, that's what this paperwork in front of me says.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I have a burner phone. I will get your...
Well, we've got burner phones for you.
Okay. Is your number in the burner phone just in case we need to call you if
yes, of course
we see
it is.
Something?
Yes. It's possible, though, that you're not going to be in an area where they're going to even work, so.
Okay, I'm just making sure this is a pretty crazy situation we have up there.
Are we going to be... Will we get a cold weather gear when we arrive there?
I'm sorry, Mick, say that again.
Will we get cold weather gear when we arrive there?
Well, actually, I've got stuff for you right over here. I've got some gear for you. You need to look more like FEMA agents. There are the burnaphones. If you guys are gonna have to make up part of this on yourself, so get your story straight. You should probably discuss amongst yourselves before you leave what roles you might take in all of this. I ain't going to hold your hands. As it is right now, I really think I want to go to bed. So unless you got any more questions. The convoy is through the door down the hall and to the left. The National Guardsmen are expecting you.
Okay.
Anything else?
Well, so when we find this green box, if there's anything in it, what are we supposed to do with it? Just dispose of it?
No, don't dispose of it. You inventory it and secure it somehow. So make another green box or
bring it back.
I don't know. I mean, we don't even know what's in there. There might be nothing in there. There wouldn't be nothing in there. I wouldn't know why they would put an alarm on the door if there was nothing in there, but it's a stupid situation. Thanks to this 15 years ago.
Did, just so I, the alarm did go off then, or no?
Like I say, it went off and nobody saw the alarm for 2 days because it's an old technology. It's just a parrot box.
Okay.
A squawk box. So you got about 10 minutes. I'm going to go to bed. So good luck. Convoy is through the door. And good night. And he gets up, grabs whatever he needs and goes. So you guys are all alone in there.
All right.
That was an information dump.
Yeah.
My first and most pressing question is what are milk duds?
Candy?
It sounds particularly unappetizing.
You ain't from around here, are you?
No.
They're a chewy caramel candy covered with chocolate.
Aha.
Uh-huh. I'll start. Right. My code name is The Chemist, but I usually go by Douglas Ramsey when I'm in public. And I am, if you need to know anything about chemistry, not the street stuff, but actual chemistry, I'm your guy.
Nice to meet you, sir.
That's good to know.
Gentlemen, you can call me Curly, which by looking at me is kind of funny because I'm completely bald except for a good goatee.
Uh-oh.
See, a three stooge. With a fisher.
I'm about 40-ish, kind of short, but really stocky, athletic build. I'll just say I have a background in law enforcement.
I'm Agent Silver, and I read books and hunt creepy things. And the person that you see in front of you is impeccably dressed, bespoke suit, you know, impeccably dressed. It looks like just stepped out of Mad Men. So my main objective now is trying to figure out how I'm going to look like a FEMA worker.
So, I'm sorry, I have to ask. Hunt creepy things?
MRAs. Sorry.
They're out there.
No further explanation? You're just going to give us that?
I read a lot of books. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Like Bigfoot, that sort of thing? Same spot?
Sure. Let's go with Bigfoot. Let's keep it simple for the kids and say Bigfoot.
Okay.
I can go if you guys want. So we see she goes, she's a woman, and she's like, I'm Agent Belladonna. I go by Maria Whitman in public. As far as everyone would know, as far as IDs. And what she looks like is she is a mixed Latino Caucasian, a little more Latino looks to her, slightly darker skin, long jet black hair, usually kept in a single braid. I kind of thought of her as like the sauciness of Michelle Rodriguez crossed with the with a little bit older Michelle Forbes. So she looks like she's about 39, 40. Probably wearing scrubs underneath her coat, has like a pack of gear and like a big duffel bag full of more stuff. And she's very small framed, not quite emaciated, but you know, not far from it. She looks kind of athletically toned, and she's like, I tend to handle all medical procedures, surgeries, first aid, but I know firearms as well, military background.
Nick?
My name is codename Corky. I guess you could say I'm kind of involved in law enforcement, kind of an outdoor specialist. He's 5'9", looks very physically fit, short brown hair. He's got a rather fetching Tom Selleck style moustache.
Ooh, nice.
And he dresses very much like a hiker, really. That's all you're going to get out of him. He's a talkative type.
And Wayne?
All right. I am Agent Nye. And I am a mechanic. I work for Boeing. You can tell from his the sound of his voice, he has a European accent, sounds maybe Norwegian or Icelandic. He's about, I'd say, 5'7", slim. He dresses like sort of a pencil pusher type of a dress. And that's pretty much all you're going to get from him.
Okay.
Not many of us look like we're prepared to look like FEMA. Maybe our cult here will just hide over us.
Well,
I'll just carry a clipboard around and, you know, we'll have our little name tags. And if you look like you belong, if you act like you own the place, if you look like you belong, pretty much people pretty much leave you alone. I think you just have to bluff.
You basically have lanyards and tags.
There you go.
That looks like FEMA. And this is a disaster, so you're not exactly dressing up for, you know, you're dressed for winter. It's freezing outside. It's 20 below zero.
I'll bring my winter tuxedo.
So it is still ice everywhere. Like, obviously, the ice storm hasn't gone away in a couple of days.
No.
All right.
What I'm going to ask, or, you know, if they have any, like, one of those big, gigantic, not parkas, but sort of up close to a parka.
Well, you have your winter kit.
I think we should just assume that we have everything we need.
Right.
I don't think we need a laundry list of shoes, pants, clothes.
Right.
It's like playing Fate. Just assume it's there and it's there.
Yeah. I'm not going to call you on anything like that.
Although my guy is from Iceland, so you guys are complaining about the cold. This is like warm weather for me.
Yeah, even this is kind of cold. All right. So,
what about weapons?
I'm sorry?
What about weapons? Are they providing us any weapons?
Nope.
Okay.
I brought my own.
So now you got to consider that you can take what you can conceal.
Yes.
You know, if you brought a machine gun, you're probably not going to be able to.
What? If it's disassembled in your duffel bag, does that work?
Okay. I'll accept that.
Now, we don't want to have open carry. Let's put it that way. Even though it is a disaster area, I mean, you might get away with like, well, I'm, you know, armed to prevent looting. You know, but that's only if you get called on it. I just don't think we should be walking in like a well-armed militia.
Well, and realize that what Agent Hill told you was that you are going in as an oversight group for FEMA, and he explained that you guys are watchers, not workers. So people are not going to, if people come up and say, hey, can you help us do this stuff over here or come and help us save these people? It's like, that's not your job. That's not your fake job. Your fake job is to decide who goes where, and it's that way you're not really involved in what they're doing.
Or the OG.
Of course, you may have to deal with people coming up to you and asking you stuff like that.
Yeah.
We need more people. We need more staplers in the office or whatever. Anyways.
As far as our ID, is it, you mentioned the lanyard and the badge. Is that all we have? Or do we have actual, like, proper identification?
He had paperwork for you on the table that would cover anything like that. So,
Do we have any information on who's the, I mean, I know that we're sort of the watchers, but do we know who's going to be there, like staff and everything like that? Do we have a list?
No idea.
Names?
Nope. No idea.
Okay. It's about time to go. Let's remember people are waiting on us. So we've made our introductions. Let's put the pedal to the metal and let's get moving and get this thing over with.
So if there's something you can't take, can we leave it here?
You've got your cars outside, so if you want to drop something off back at your car.
So I have a Kevlar helmet and vest, but I'm thinking that doesn't hide in the duffel bag as well. So that might be put back.
Okay.
Is anyone else as armored as I am? Anyone expecting the worst?
Well, I have 2 guns, but I kind of be kind of quiet about it. So I kind of say
you weren't.
Well, what I do is I kind of like show the.
So I'm not telling anybody about this gun that I have. It's okay. All right. So
I'm going to put my rifle back in the trunk of my car.
Okay.
I'm going to put my armor away, but then I'm good to go.
And given that it's the same car that I use for work, it's got like a lock, so I can lock the gun in the back with a, you know, not just the lock on the trunk, I mean like a gun lock thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you follow the corridor and you're greeted by National Guardsmen. He escorts you aboard a Navistar Defense 7000 MV troop transport, stuffed with blankets, clothing, and food. As the transport sets out, you are freezing and uncomfortable, but the disaster relief convoy has the only military vehicles capable of getting anyone across the icy Midwestern landscape. You sit there across from three National Guardsmen, and you can see they're all Army privates. So one of them's sitting there, and he says, "So sorry it's so cold. There's a blanket there if you need it. I'm sure the refugees won't mind you using it for a bit. It's going to be a while before we get there. You don't want to freeze to death."
How long is this trip going to take?
Yeah.
We're going, you know, we're trying to get there, but it's a disaster area. So there's going to be all kinds of crap that we're going to have to go around and go through and go over and under. By the way, my name is Private Henry Peterson.
I say, nice to be there, Private. I say, I introduce myself as Douglas Ramsey. Mike?
This guy here is Donald Fargo, and the one on my other side is Lawrence Clark.
How you doing?
Yeah, I basically say, roughly how long does it take in normal
weather? This should be about an hour and a half to get there.
Oh,
okay. I just thought I would ask because you're pretty crappy out like this.
So what do you guys think? Are we gonna? How long do you think this disaster is gonna last? How long before we can get some serious help here? You know, they're struggling right now.
Well, I'm told that federal aid is on the way, so we're gonna recce the situation, see what's going on, see how things are on the ground, assess the supply routes, and get relief in as soon as we possibly can. That's our remit.
You guys have probably seen quite a lot of stuff, haven't you, out there?
Well, everything's different.
It's a disaster zone. It really is.
Okay.
I want to.
All right. So.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I want to sit next to Silver. Purposely. Is it possible to have a quick conversation while everyone else is talking?
Of course.
I just want to lean, like, she leans over and she's like, "So, you hunt creepy things. Have you ever seen one?"
I've seen creepy things.
Me too. It's a curiosity that really intrigues me. So, you had said that. So, I'm just curious.
We all have our specialties here in this van or whatever the hell we're in.
I wouldn't say it's a specialty of mine, but I'm definitely amazed by it. I'd be looking forward to talking to you more about it later, maybe.
I think we could arrange a drink.
She doesn't laugh. <I'm back.
laughs> Oh, she laughs.
Maybe there was a small chuckle. And then she goes back to her stoicness, and that's all I got at the moment.
Yeah, it's you know.
Okay, so you left Lambert Airport just after midnight. The date is now January 6th, 2017. Normally, it would take about an hour and a half to drive to La Fontaine from St. Louis. But because of the damage to the roads, dangerous stretches of ice, fallen debris all along the way, it's not until 6 a.m. when you finally enter the city. Nothing could have prepared you for the level of destruction that you are now seeing. The nightly news last week had said that La Fontaine was ill-prepared for winter weather. The city had actually sold most of its salt trucks and plows to keep from declaring bankruptcy. Nearly every road is blocked with felled trees. Phone and power lines dangle everywhere. The few emergency responders that you do see are still chiseling their own vehicles out of the ice like sculptors. And most who have succeeded seem to have then subsequently skidded right off the road. The majority of homes remain damaged and without power, their residents left to freeze in winter temperatures. Getting to the few operational shelters requires them taking trekking on foot across the actually eerily beautiful city of ice. Upon arrival, these refugees are crammed into crowded shelters filled with cots and hastily packed suitcases. Even the lucky ones with vehicles rugged enough to escape the city often have to find a path through the felled trees. The roar of chainsaws is constant and everywhere. Even after 5 days, relief teams have made scant headway. A few major roadways are cleared and salted. The commercial and university district to the south have power restored. Very little relief has come to the north side, the poor side of town. Your convoy is currently inching through that. The north of La Fontaine is the oldest part of the city. It's cut off from the rest by a moat of abandoned warehouses, rail yards, factories, and other remnants of the city's industrial past. The massive old-growth trees dotting its residential neighborhoods caused more damage here than anywhere else. The only lifeline south, the Zora Neale Hurston Bridge, remains a clogged, icy mess. It'll be difficult to tell who needs help in the northern La Fontaine. Only the locals can distinguish which homes were abandoned to the storm and which were left vacant by the real estate crash. Still, you can see that progress is being made. Operating out of the headquarters for city utilities, workers are slowly getting La Fontaine livable again. It appears that while the storm will certainly be expensive, so far none of the relief workers are going to be haunted by lost lives. It's uncomfortable, but there are patrols and emergency shelters. They seem to be working. They seem to be keeping people fed and warm. So shortly after 7 a.m., you arrive in the parking lot of the city utilities headquarters. You disembark. The transport leaves you in front of the main building. So I assume you're going to go in because it's freezing.
I guess so.
All right. So as you enter, it's absolute chaos. The lobby is clogged with activity. There's complaining customers entering the second week without electricity. They pack the lobby like cattle. There are overworked receptionists. They do their best to keep the crowd calm. How do you proceed?
Well, I don't think jumping the queue would be a good idea. That's going to end.
Well, you're not a customer.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll find someone, security guard, reception staff, something like that. Flash them my lanyard, and say we're the FEMA assessment team. We've been sent down here to plan the relief effort.
All right. There's a receptionist, and she says, I don't know anything about that. Is there somebody, a contact, somebody that you need to talk to?
Where's Skip Mills at, please?
Skip Mills, and she looks on the directory, and she says, Skip Mills is second floor up and all the way down to the end of the hall.
Thank you, ma'am.
His name's on the door. And because you guys are who you are, you're FEMA, they're not even going to escort you or question you. They're way too busy, and you're not just some random customer. You're might as well be an employee. You're not an employee, but you know.
We're just going to hide in plain sight. Let's just, you know, we belong here. We own the place. Let's walk up and get a hold of Mills.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing to go. And I open up the door, if there is a door.
Well, you go upstairs. There's no door. Just go up the stairs. All right. Go up the stairs and down the hall and realize there are people everywhere. They're doing work. It's bedlam at this point. You start heading down the hallway, and before you get to the end of the hallway, there is like yellow hazard tape across the hall itself, and you can see Skip Mills' office door is right there, but there's no way to like get to it without going through the hazard tape.
Is there anyone in any of the offices?
Yeah, there's people all around you, and there's like a little, there's like an office right next to where you're standing. We'll say on the right hand side. There's a lady sitting behind a desk doing paperwork. There's a couple people that she's ordering around to do stuff.
Excuse me.
And she looks up and she says, "Yeah, what can I do for you?"
I'll just show my ID and say, "We're from FEMA. We were meant to have an appointment with Skip Mills."
Oh shit! Shit.
Do you know what's going on here? There's tape everywhere.
She's like, they called me. They told me that that I was supposed to find some office space for you people. I didn't know when you were going to show up, though. How many of you? Oh my God, six of you. You're looking for Skip. Skip's not here. Skip went home sick. Besides his offices, there's nobody in the office. A tree hit the side of the building and smashed open the side of his office. So we moved him out into the parking lot in a temporary shelter. That's where he's been working the until he got sick. My name is Tanya Cambria. She's a, well, it's kind of a small, wiry little lady. Looks like she's, you know, past middle age, a little gray in her hair. But she looks like she's been working here for a long time.
Yeah.
And she looks very, very tired.
I say, thank you. Thank you so much. What you guys do is really important, especially in this disaster zone. And what you're doing is really important.
Well, I'm not with the disaster relief people. I'm just with public utilities. I'm just like a glorified secretary around here.
Look, if you can just tell us where we can go, we'll get out of your hair as soon as possible.
Well, you know, I might as well take you down. I've got some paperwork to take downstairs anyway. So she grabs up a bunch of paperwork and stands up.
And, so have you worked with Mr. Mills a long time?
Yes, quite a few years. He's rather outstanding. Now you guys are walking. Okay? She's like no nonsense. She talks, but she doesn't talk and stand still. She walks. So she's like, yes, he was. He's a very good employee. He's in charge of the power grid network, monitoring the power grid. He's done a very good job. He's been an absolutely exemplary employee. Unfortunately, he suddenly decides he's going to get sick right when the disaster hits, right after. And I told him that, you know, we really need him working here. But
how sick was he?
Well, just a couple of days ago, he came in. He said he wasn't feeling well, and this was right after we moved him out into the trailer. And I brought him some work to do, and he gave me the strangest look. I could tell that he was like pale and he was shaken, and
it's probably all the stress. Would it be possible for us to set up in his office since it's
I think that's I'm sorry, I would have normally set you up in a bigger office, but I think that might work. So
that's perfectly fine. We're going to try and be out in the field as much as possible and get as much work done as we can.
I'd like to see him. If we get a chance, I'd like to see him.
Well, she takes you down the stairs. She delivers whatever paperwork she needed to whoever she needed to deliver it to, and then she takes you to a side door. Now, the parking lot is... There's different parts of it. There's employees that come in. They park on the side. There's places where customers would normally park. That's up in the front. That's pretty much jammed full, but not of customers. It's a disaster area. They have managed at some point to salt the parking lot. So the ice is melted, and it's relatively, you know, there is a way in and out. They've set up some temporary offices. the kind that you've probably seen before, double wide things that are long. And
okay, is there internet access in the offices, or
she says, oh yeah, she says you've got access to the internet, you've got access to the grid. So she takes you in there. Now it's kind of what I envision is you go up maybe three steps, and there's a little landing, and then there's a door to this trailer, which is just basically, you know, steel on the outside, painted steel, corrugated steel. Inside, it's actually, because of you've been freezing for the last 6 hours, it's actually uncomfortably warm. Temperature's probably only turned up to about 74, but compared to outside, you guys are just suddenly like, whoa.
That's warm.
You know, that's warm. So you walk inside, there's some makeshift furniture. Well, it's furniture, office furniture. There's an ugly, stained, olive green carpet, you know, Berber carpet on the floor. There's some whiteboards here, and there's some cork boards over there on the wall, and there's some filing cabinets, sort of, you know, makeshift things set up, and there's a desk towards the end. She says, this is his desk right here. There's his computer, and, you know, you're welcome to use this. And she says, right back here, and this is just, there's no walls. This is one, I mean, there's walls on the outside, but there's no internal separations. Back towards the back of the trailer, there is a large table with, you know, room for maybe six people to sit around, like a conference table. And she says, you know, if you need anything, you know, you can come over to the, across the parking lot, come up and see me, and I'll do what I can.
Could I get your extension number?
Yes. Extension number 59. To write that down.
I'm gonna stand near the door. This was his office, right?
Yes. Now,
oh man,
there's something else. Well, I'd like you to all do spot hidden.
Did the lady leave yet, or she's still there?
She's still there. This is just as she was opening the door, and you got the blast of warmth.
Is that perception or?
I don't know what it is.
You mean search? It's search.
Search. Okay.
I got a 99.
93.
First roll of the day.
Oh, hang on. Oh, it's 99. If you get a double,
if you row doubles, double that's digits, correct. That's an extreme. So I got an extreme.
So did I. I got a 33.
Let's explain a moment for Lucas in Delta yeah. Green.
Yes.
If you get a double number, that's an extreme. So, yes.
What if it's a double? Isn't it also an extreme fail if it's a double above the number?
That's correct. Yes.
If you pass and then double is lower than you pass and the number is double, then it's a crit success. If you fail and the double and the number is double, then it's a crit fail.
Well, that mine's a crit fail.
Okay, and so you don't smell anything. You're kind of knocked out by that blast of heat from the door as it opens.
I didn't do a crit fail, but it's just that big huge the big waft of heat. It's like, ugh.
I think Belladonna is going to step back and can I get you know the mask people wear like doctor's masks or when people are in public and they don't want to catch germs or give them out.
Right.
Like she puts one of those on immediately. Okay.
Who succeeded?
Critical success.
Critical success for me as well.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
People are used to smelling McDonald's or something.
Did anybody get just a regular success? Okay. Regular success. The room smells musty. You kind of imagined that these sort of buildings are in storage until they're needed, and then they come and set them up really quick, and they just have a regular nasty sort of musty smell to them. Those of you who had critical success, that's the same sort of impression you'd get, but there's something else in the air. Something, I don't know, something weird in the air, but vaguely familiar, vaguely familiar. In fact, it's vaguely familiar for Belladonna. It's a little bit more familiar for Corky. But you can't quite place what it is.
Did I smell it at all since I got a crit failure?
No, you didn't smell anything.
But I would. Okay, so if I do, it'll be familiar to me. Okay.
All right. So she says, you know, make yourselves at home. There's a beverage cooler. I mean, well, a little refrigerator right here up in the front in case you guys want to put your lunch or something in there.
And if we need to talk to Skip, could you give us his address, please?
She's like, well, I don't have it on. It's probably on his desk. You know, you can probably, that's some stuff right there. So,
well, thank you, ma'am.
But I'll look. I'll see if I can find it, and I'll see his. I don't know if his phone is working or not.
It's very kind. Thank you.
We'll see. All right. So, what would you guys like to do first?
Leaves. Lock the door.
Put on a sanitary lotion and then gloves. Medical.
Same.
This is a very unsanitary place, and.
I'm going to step around to his desk and start looking at what's on the desktop.
Okay. The first thing that you notice is a picture in a little frame on his desk.
Him and the family?
Looks like this.
Ah, Skip and Nana.
Oh, Skip. All right. It looks like he's a nice guy.
So he's a gerontophile.
Got that? Okay. Now, his desk is kind of messy. But there's nothing on it that you wouldn't expect. There's a computer. There's some logbooks, some paperwork. Things like that. But it's kind of messy. I was gonna add really quick. There's also a little like his desk thing, you know, that he keeps his pens and pencils in. He's got a little American flag in that.
This is patriotic, right? Just I don't know if I missed it, but is there like is his desk messy?
Yes.
I missed it. Okay.
Yes.
Is his computer on?
Yes.
Is it password locked or anything like that?
Well, you're not sitting at the computer, Mick is.
Okay. Sorry, I just, yeah. So I will, no. But, okay.
Wayne, were you saying something?
I was going to check the computer.
Okay, well, I thought, Mick, did you say you were sitting down, or? I thought.
No, I was going to use a computer, but I was going to use my own laptop.
Okay.
I'm actually sitting behind the desk, but.
Okay, somebody said they were sitting down. Okay.
Well, I'm not the computer guy.
So if somebody wants to take a look at it, feel free. I just want to look through the drawers, look at his appointment calendar.
Okay. Actually, I'd like to answer that question. You start looking through his drawers, and there's something very well. I'm going to make you do the equivalent of a spot hidden search,
or okay.
Perception. Perception is probably.
I passed my search.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Search, I
think. What you notice is, how well did you pass?
I have a 60 and it's a 47. I rolled a 47. So I'm a pretty good searcher.
How about How about your human intuition, Humint?
I make that too, if I use the same roll. Because I've got a 50.
You notice an interesting, incongruity. And that is that his files, his desk, inside the drawers and everything are very well organized. The top of his desk is not.
Does it look like somebody was searching for it during the days when he was absent? If he left it in a certain condition...
It doesn't look like anybody searched. But if you make another human intelligence, I'll give you a little bit of insight.
We don't have luck to spend in Delta Green, so I have to fail that one.
Okay. It just seems odd that somebody who's actually very well organized, or at least looks like they're very well organized, why aren't they organized? You know,
on the top of their desk.
On the top of their desk. Why are there things?
Does it look like there were piles? Like he may have stacked them neatly on his desk when he left for the day, and it gradually disintegrated into chaos? Or does it look like somebody was moving things around? I'm just trying to get a better...
It looks like the desk of somebody who didn't really give a shit. Kind of like my desk, no.
There you go. Exactly, Corky. It's like, you know, when you're feeling your best, you're going to put those things into piles. But when you start feeling like crap, you're just going to start throwing stuff around. So it's not a personality change. It's just a energy. It's a matter of energy, and it's a matter of attention to detail, as opposed to a slow descent into madness.
It's, yeah, out of game, it's sort of like my desk at work. When I'm at work, I'm really organized, but then, you know, everything is kind of like a controlled chaos kind of thing. So maybe he's that type of...
How do you guys want to settle in? I mean...
Well, I would like to check that computer.
Yeah, I'll get up and let him sit down.
Okay.
Whoever's our computer nerd, let's have it.
Wow.
Well, if you want to have at it, you can. I was going to check the computer, but feel free. If you can't get it, then
What would it?
What are the rest of you doing?
Is there a restroom?
Yes, there is a restroom.
I think that, I mean, with the medical background, she's going to check for signs of sickness or implants, you know, medicines used, the trash can, the toilet, bathtub, if there's one. I don't know if there's a bathtub, but, you know, just check for signs of illness.
Right.
In and around.
Maybe prescription drugs.
Prescription drugs, all that stuff, yeah.
Non-prescription drugs, over-the-counter meds.
Everything.
Agent Belladonna, go ahead and do a search.
Just a regular search? Okay. Just regular search. Let's see if I can pass this one. I got it right on a 40, 4-0.
Okay.
Wow.
You try very hard not to freak out about it, but the place is not that clean. The bathroom is not very clean.
I hate it.
There are sticky stains on the floor near the toilet, and it's just not pleasant at all. It like needs a thorough sanitizing, but it doesn't look like, you know, you kind of think, I thought that they sanitized, or they should sanitize these places before they put them up. This looks like a week's worth of, you know, men peeing on things that it's not pleasant at all.
She's been around enough men to know that is very true. So I was seeing her putting the paper booties on her boots and leaving her duffel bag safely in the living room area. It's absolutely not touching anything more than she needs to do a search. So But it's just nasty in here, basically, at this time.
How about the rest of you? Do you guys put your gear, like, in the back where the conference table is, or...
Yeah, I'd while everyone else is searching, I'd like to use the internet and just get some background on this storm. Look at some online meteorological information, and try and figure out what we're dealing with weather-wise, what the weather system is that's moving in at the moment, where this weather system came from. Just so I can sort of, you know, prepare myself for whether it's going to get worse or where it came from.
What you get from a simple search, and the fact that it's been on the news for almost a week now, is that the weather itself, they're not anticipating any kind of addition to the ice storm. The ice storm was just like one of those actually incredible freaks. I mean, they've had ice storms before, but, you know, half an inch maybe. Now they've gotten 4 inches. They're you're still going to have snow. You're still going to have cold weather for at least another week or two, probably. At least, you know, it could change in a week, but.
Okay.
It doesn't seem extraordinary or out of the way, you know, in a Delta Green sense.
Okay, so there are, I mean, looking back for a few days previously with the meteorological information and the satellite images, you can see the weather front approaching.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's the main thing.
Nobody expected it to rain right at that particular point, you know, when it was just slightly above freezing, and so it was a disaster.
Okay,
so what... Do you want me to roll? What do you want me to roll for the trying to get into the computer?
Well, when you hit the enter button on the thing, the computer comes right up.
Okay.
What you're seeing on the screen is, you know, a number. You've basically got two sort of areas you can go into. You can go into Skip's personal stuff. You can go into the power grid.
Now, I ask the power grid. Bill, Agent Nye is right beside me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm right here.
I ask him, what did you want to check? Did you want to check the power grid, or did you want to check the his personal information?
I'm going to check the power grid. I don't care about his personal information.
Well,
not at this time.
Okay, that's what we're going to do. Is I'm going to check the power grid, and then if we have time, I will check out the personal information.
We should have time, but I do want to check the power grid first to see what's down.
That makes sense.
It's something else I guess I should have sort of mentioned in case you guys are wondering. There's no time limit on this, so you do what needs to be done, and if it takes 3 days, if it takes 2 weeks... It takes whatever it takes.
Okay.
Right. Our focus here is getting Skip and having him take us out to the green box. Right? That's you know, we're kind of you know, I think we need to find Skip. Do we have to commandeer a vehicle and drive to his house?
Well, wait a minute. Why do we need Skip?
Do we know where the green box is?
It's in the Earl's rental place.
Then we can.
Why aren't we heading to Earl's?
That's rental what I'm saying. Space.
In my opinion, we should go there right now. But
sounds good.
Well,
I don't want to stop you guys either.
We should. You know, it's good to get some more background information on. You know, just to make sure we know everything before we continue. Well,
just imagine there's a storage space sitting there with the door open.
Right, the door's open. The alarm has gone off.
There's six.
That's where we need to go. Agent Curley's right. This is just time wasting.
I totally agree, but I really want to get. I want to make sure I'm thorough. I'm not missing anything. So this is just my own personal.
Let me interject that we all have certain ways of playing this game, and the fact is the splitting up is not that unusual. I mean, you don't all have to go and do all exactly the same thing.
This isn't D&D. Don't there split six the party.
Of there are six of them.
Don't you know?
Yeah, no, it's just really, right. really thorough. So,
to sort of answer Jeff, one of the things that your handler said was, do find out why Mr. Mills didn't report the breach and find out if he knows anything, because he doesn't know anything about Delta Green.
I'll be at skip duty. Totally.
But it's not okay. Your priority is correct. I mean, you want to
secure the contents.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go try to get a vehicle, and I'm going to head to the rent-a-space because this place smells awful. It's cold. I want to get back to my home and a nice glass of whiskey and a fireplace and not stay here. So if y'all want to stay here in Skip's office and do some intelligence gathering, that's fine. But
I'll come to the story.
I'm better as a field agent.
Yep.
Well, okay. So make sure.
How about this? The chemist and I will stay here. We'll investigate as much.
Absolutely fine.
Drugs can go out into the field and.
Also, just so I know, Tom, do we have walkie-talkies?
Everybody has burner phones. But we may not have any bars.
What is the reception like out here?
It depends on where you're standing at any given moment. Right where you are right now, you got like two bars.
Should we exchange numbers of our burner phones so they all have them?
Let's assume that you guys can contact each other with the burner phones if the power is
if the signal
the tower is working.
Do we have the number to the phone in here, the office phone?
You find that fairly easily.
Okay, yes. So I'll have you guys program that. While the chemist and I will be here. We'll do our investigations. If you guys come up with something, you can call here. If you can't get through our phones,
excellent.
For whatever reason.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I get my bag of goodies. Not leaving it.
Okay.
So I'm going to pick up the desk phone and dial our extension 59, 57. Mm-hmm. And talk to the
Tanya.
Tanya, yes.
Tanya Cambria, what can I do for you?
Tanya, this is...
That's my name.
Hi. We met earlier. This is Lawrence Davenport with FEMA. You were kind enough to show us down to Skip's office.
Yes, Mr. Davenport. What can I do for you?
We need a car. Can you help me with that, please?
We need a vehicle. Give me about about 5 minutes. I'll get back to you. You'll need a four-wheel drive car. So, she says, I'll get back to you in about 5 minutes. You're still in the office?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you kindly.
All right. So she's doing that. People on the computer, you guys are sitting there. So you were going to check the power grid. The power grid is password protected.
Oops. Who's the hacker?
Well, I can give it a go. Let's see if there's the actual hack skill.
How long until we have a vehicle?
I have computer science, but I'm trying to see if there's...
It's signal intelligence, SIGINT.
Okay, I have something in that as well. I got a 21 out of 40.
Okay. If Mr. Mills is normally... an organized man, then he might have written it down somewhere.
Okay, so I'll start searching for that.
Okay. You go ahead and do a search roll then. That makes sense.
65 out of 60, so no, I don't find it.
Well, I'm just going to say it takes you a little longer.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is you'll find it after the others leave.
Okay.
Okay. And we'll then do that then. So you don't you're now searching for the password somewhere hidden nearby. And Corey, are you still there?
I think he stepped out.
No, I'm still here, but.
Okay, here's something.
I need to be on mute.
So while he's looking for the password, what do you want to look at in the computer?
Let's go to his personal information.
What are you looking for?
Really, and kind of any changes in behavior, like.
I mean, what on the computer are you going to look at?
That's what you know. Really,
you're
going to
look at his email, you're going to look at his browser history, you're going to look at
let's start with the email.
Okay. You get into his email without any problem at all. What you find is that in the last few days he's received a great many requests from different offices for information and stuff like that. And it looks like they've just piled up. But he hasn't answered them. That some of the earlier ones he answered, but then he kind of stopped answering. Go ahead and do an intelligence roll.
Okay.
You're muted, by the way. Corey, you're muted.
Yeah, I know. Oh. I know I'm muted. There's a lot of stuff going around on here. I just made it at, I just hit it on the dot.
Okay. You notice that if he was here a couple of days ago, he wasn't doing any of his work while he was here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then
I'd like you, but before you continue, Wayne and Agent Manai and both of you, I'd like you to do another what is it? Alertness.
42 out of 60.
Okay. How about you, Corey? You're still muted.
Just one second here. I got a crit fail.
Oh no.
So you don't notice anything. As you Agent Nye are sort of searching around through stuff. That weird smell, like sour socks. It's there in the air, and you just
gross.
You don't know. I mean, it's just in the air, and it's just nasty. But it's you don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You wonder maybe if it's a smell coming from the bathroom or.
Well, I'm gonna check.
It's kind of a crowded place. Yeah. Well, you are kind of checking around.
Are we already gone, the rest of us?
No, you guys are about to leave.
Okay. Yeah, is it kind of...
No, you don't smell it, Corey. You had a critical fail.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if I could, I'll you know, when I start to smell that, I'll start to walk around the room slowly to see if I can try to pinpoint where the smell is coming from. And if, like, okay, the smell is getting heavier as I get closer to a particular location.
Well, go ahead and do a search.
Get it. Ah, okay. 56 out of 60.
All right.
Okay. You smell it the least when you're back by the conference table and by the front door. You smell it the most when you're near the chemist and the desk.
Okay.
Well, I'll stop there for a moment. All right. The phone rings, and Miss Cambria is on the phone. Now I can't remember what your fake name is. She just says, okay, I have a car ready for you. I just sent Mr. Pierquot down there, one of my assistants, to bring you the keys. It's a black SUV. I don't know cars very well.
Tahoe.
It's a four-wheel drive adequate, whatever it is.
So kind of like
a Ford adequate on the fly.
It's a Ford adequate.
It's a Ford Furniture. I'll send down my friend Bob Furniture. So, what the hell was his name?
Pierquot? I don't know.
Pierquot.
Yeah, all right. That guy.
There's a knock at the door. And just a couple seconds later, there's a knock at the door. Young guy comes in and says, which one of you is Mr. And she hands you the keys. He hands you the keys.
Let's get out of his place.
All right, I jingle the keys. Who's going? Let's rock.
Okay. I grab my bag. I'm out way outside the door now.
Same here. Sling my rucksack over my shoulder.
Get outside and just like rip the mask off and do a huge breath of air. Just like, oh, that was suffocating.
Undress yourself as far as all your masks, your booties, your hand gloves.
Yep. I take out a small, like, travel size hand sanitizer, and I'm sanitizing my hands anyway as we're getting up to the door. Actually, I would do it after I touch the door handle and get into my side, then I'll put it on once I'm at the car.
Nice.
All right. Uh-huh. All right, and you start off down the road. It's not easy going. You do have to, you're in the northern part of the town. Like I said, it's the worst part. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of trees fallen. There are a lot of people trying to clear the trees, but you're going into the outskirts. Well, it's really not the outskirts. It's kind of a band that runs through the middle of the north side. It's got a lot of abandoned businesses and a lot of it's not a great area of town. But that's where the utility area the green box is at. All right. So you guys are heading out. You're going that way. Right.
So is there a GPS in this so we can just plug Earl's address in and, you know, take the next left, take the next right? Because we're not familiar with the city. We don't have a chauffeur.
Right.
So we're going to need some way to find Earl's now that we have the address.
Okay. Yeah. There's a Garmin or whatever it's called.
Yep. Garmin.
And you can see that it's not going to be that hard to find. It is going to take a while because
right, just because of the situation, right?
And the roads are really slippery, so you got to be very. Yeah. You can't just like go speeding over there. You're going at a slow pace. All right. So, let's jump back to Wayne. So you're finally looking around. And there's like a wall calendar. and you go over to the wall calendar, and behind the wall calendar, there is a piece of paper from a yellow pad that's tacked to the wall. And it looks like this.
Oh, this man's a
some bit clunkiness going on.
He's a Christian man. All right, First Corinthians. I'll try that as a password, but I imagine I'll try to Google that because.
Okay, well, Corey is sitting at the computer. Do you want to take over?
No, I'm here. I will look at your at the notes, and I will try to enter that in.
Okay, what are you going to do? Google it, or are you going to use it as a password?
I'm going to use it as a password.
Okay. It is, in fact, the password to get into the power grid. Yeah. Now, the power grid itself shows you basically where there is still power in the town. There is it's kind of limited as to what's actually out there, but you do have now a thing to where you can see which power lines are down and what areas are still have electricity.
Okay,
whatever good that does you.
All right, so I'll make a notation of where all the power is, but I still look up this particular scripture.
Okay. Now you're gonna make me look up the damn scripture.
Sounds much darker when it's applied to this.
If you want to look it up, you look it up.
Okay.
Corey, what else would you like to do?
I will look at his internet history.
Browser history.
Browser history.
Did you find anything with his emails? Anything strange?
He got a lot of them, and he's replied to a few of them, but it's been kind of he hasn't replied to a lot of he replied to a lot early on, but later on he has not been replying.
What was the time frame of when he stopped replying to the emails?
That's what I was just.
Is it he's been replying say 2 weeks ago, and then 1 week ago he just all of a sudden stopped, and maybe from 8 a.m. to whenever, he hasn't answered any emails. Has it been like that, or is there a pattern?
Well, let's see. On January 4th, he came into work, and this was the last day that he worked. It's the 6th now. Looks like he logged in. I take that back. I'm sorry. I got my dates wrong. Last day that he logged in was January 3rd. He logged in to work at 6:30 a.m. and he logged out at 1 p.m., which he should be working until 5 or 4 at least. It looks like he did maybe a couple of emails right when he arrived, right about 6:45 in the morning, and then didn't do anything after that as far as emails go.
All right.
Browser history. All right, Corey hits the button for his browser history, And there are a long, incredibly long list of porn sites.
Now we know these.
Okay. Yeah, I could definitely
do a search.
I fail by one.
You see an incredible large amount of porn sites. All of which, okay, I will now list for you.
Oh.
It looks to you like he spent all day looking at porn.
Okay. This might sound... let's see here. Any kind of... I don't even know what to say on this. Any, like stuff that is out of the normal, like weird kind of...
Yes, good question.
You know, like bestiality.
He starts off, it looks like that progressively through the day, the porn stuff that he is looking at becomes more and more and more violent, disgusting,
yeah,
on the edge, dark web shit, and he's just, it looks, it's like a super obsession.
Okay.
Tons and tons of it.
I look over at Egypt and I am like, this there also doesn't seem to be any
preference. There's normal. No such a sexual preference either. There's male, there's female, there's hermaphrodite, there's everything you can imagine. As weird as it can be.
Any like, I don't know. Okay. Anything other than porn sites?
Nope.
Okay.
What was the last site he visited?
Oh, I don't know.
If it doesn't matter.
www.rapethathorse.com. I don't know.
Okay.
Violent snuff film, whatever.
I kind of look over. I look kind of disgusted at this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, this guy is one weird motherfucker. Does he have anything else on the computer other than browser history? Maybe like saved files?
Did he have multiple windows up? Or, I mean, I guess we couldn't tell.
He was looking at everything.
No wonder he left early. His hand got too tired.
Yeah.
I would like you both to do an intelligence roll.
What's going on with my dice tonight? I fit...
26 out of 70.
Agent Nye, the second you say that out loud, you realize what the smell is.
That was not creepy or anything.
And it's coming from under his desk.
Uh-oh.
All right, I look under the desk.
Oh, yeah, there's stains all over the carpet, all over the metal of the desk.
Oh.
It's like literally would have been a couple days ago dripping.
Oh.
Sorry, I don't know. I don't know this at all.
Where's that hand sanitizer? God damn it.
I'm glad
it's your belladonna that you weren't sitting at the desk at this moment.
Uh-huh. Or a scream?
Apparently, I'll just say this right now, the heat of the room and just, you know, has made me kind of dumb right now.
Constitution rolls. Especially you, because you're sitting at the desk. And you realize there's stains all over the chair, too. And that stickiness to the keyboard.
I failed.
All right. You feel ill. You need to run to the bathroom. And I won't necessarily say that you throw up, but ew. You actually probably need some fresh air.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like...
Did you fail?
I failed again. I feel like I...
Okay, you need to run to the restroom.
Yes. But...
And that's when you realize that all those stains in the restroom...
I didn't see this
the same before. Thing. I'm sorry, Wayne, did you see something?
I said, why didn't we see this before? I mean, was it...
You didn't really think about it. You just thought it's kind of a dirty place, and
yeah, it is.
You weren't looking
for it. Underestimating.
Yeah, this is
people see what they expect to see. They don't see what's actually there until they realize it. So.
Yeah, and I am very, very ill.
All right. Well, let's leave you guys there in that situation. The others.
Is our car clean? Outside of the bathroom. Okay.
But you don't know any of it. So. You guys make your way through the town rather slowly, but fortunately, the storage facility is not that far from the utilities place. Which might have made it convenient for them to have made Mr. Mills somebody who'd watch the place. You guys arrive, you park, you have to kind of... actually, you have a problem. The place is theoretically open 24 hours a day, but you have to have a passcode to get through the gate and into the facility. There's nobody on duty. Obviously, this time, with the disaster and everything, there's nobody here. So how do you guys want to handle that? It's a huge facility.
The office doesn't look like it's open right now?
No, this is the middle of a disaster. The guy who runs it's gone. He's not here.
Anybody happen to have a pair of...
Are there security cameras, and does it look like they're operational?
You can see security cameras here and there. You don't know if they're operational.
Well, I suppose we could just ring back to the office and ask them if they could have a look, see if there's anything resembling a passcode back there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Or we can effect an entry.
Does anybody have wire cutters?
Type in 0171.
Nope.
Okay.
Let's have Bill, why don't you do a search?
Okay. Search. Oh,
double zeros.
Five out of 60.
Oh shoot, that's awesome.
Oh, super. Okay, so you are as the others are trying to figure something out, they're maybe going to call back. You're sort of wandering back and forth, looking at it. You can see that down there, over there, where the fence, you know, the barrier fence is for the whole facility.
Mm-hmm.
That some trees have fallen on the fence.
Oh.
And has it knocked the fence down?
Yes, in part.
I think that's as good an invitation as we're going to get. I start walking in that direction.
Okay, so we're out of the vehicle now, or were you just out?
He got out to kind of to look around. So now you can all get out.
Is anybody else going in armed, or am I just crazy?
You might be crazy.
I might be armed. Who knows?
I definitely pack up my handgun and my knife, and I put them.
Parked at the office, I guess.
You're parked in front of the gate. Yeah.
Can I check the office?
Sure. You're going to all have to go way over there, and then go through the gate, and then come back. The office is actually inside the facility.
Oh, really? There's no... Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Well, maybe there's one wall of it that faces the outside where you can go through if they were open.
If you're a new customer, you'd have to be able to get in. Yeah. Probably go there.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense, actually. I never put anything in the storage facility, so I didn't think about that.
Okay, I was going
to
say...
All right. So you go over to the...
Can I just look in the window? I just want to make sure, is the power on or off here?
Looks like the power's off.
Okay. So chances are, if the power's off, I'm saying this to the rest of the people, if the power's off, chances are the security cameras are off too.
Mm. And the gate's offline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're not hearing any generators running or anything like that in this area. So.
Correct.
Can I test the gate? Because it's probably on a slider or something. Would the power be off? Will it open?
No.
Okay. Just in case, it'd be easy. Too easy. I'll follow towards the fallen tree area.
There would actually be a way to open that gate if you were on the inside and you had a crank, but you can't even reach that part from this side. Okay.
All right.
So the crank's probably in the office. So you guys make your way through, and you realize by the layout of the whole place, that the green box is probably way down on the corner of that side, and the office is over there. So what would you guys like to do?
So they're kind of kitty-corner to each other?
Yeah, they're a ways away. They're not next to each other. We'll say that.
Well, I'm going to, if Agent Curly wants to go look in the office and reconnoiter that, and I'm going to go to the green box and secure it if I can.
I'm going to the green box with you.
Well, and Curly just said that he wanted to see if the power was on.
Yeah, I was just checking the power.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I'm up for heading straight to the green box.
Yeah. All right.
Does any of us have a padlock or anything?
Did I bring it back?
No. It may be as simple as closing the door.
Yeah.
It's also, we could do a time thing. You guys got here at 7, 8, 9. Say it's about almost 10 o'clock. Okay.
10 a.m.
in the morning. Oh. So it's cold, it's freezing. It's not snowing at the moment, but... it's snowing in the picture, but it's not snowing at the moment. And so you make your way inside. And this is the kind of facility that they are long rows of storage. They're not inside. They're basically, you got to drive up to them and open up the thing and take your stuff out.
Yep.
Different sizes and stuff.
Right. They come in all different sizes. So as you turn a corner heading in the direction of the numbers, you can see that there is a large old growth tree that has fallen on the end of the row. And very likely, even from this distance, you're guessing, I bet you that's where our box is.
So that may be the cause for the alarm.
So, indeed, as you approach, you find that your box is right on the corner. The tree has fallen right across from the side to the front of the box, tore the whole building open right there, and ripped the door and everything else, which definitely set off the alarm. Inside, when you're standing there, you can see that it's about 10 feet wide and maybe 20 feet deep. And there's stuff all over the place. There's debris, there's tree branches, there's leaves, there's snow, there's ice, there's looks like a black plastic bag, a box, stuff all over the floor in the back. The farther in you go, the less damage, but there's definitely was a shelf in there that's been knocked over by the tree, and its contents are all over the floor. There's shit everywhere. There's no way you could just lock this up. It's open to the sky.
Is it? Can we see well enough inside?
Oh, it's the middle of the day. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I will give you a picture of more or less the contents, at least the way it's sort of laid out. Like that.
Nice.
So you are over on the left-hand side, looking in. I would like you all to do a search before you even enter.
We're looking from the top down.
You're looking, in this case, yes, you are looking from the top down.
36. That's just a regular success.
Okay.
That is not happening tonight.
I did not make my search.
I did not make mine.
Fail.
So Mick's the only one? So as you are standing there looking in, Mick, you notice two things. There are a couple of footprints in the snow on either side of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something right in front of the footprints that is frozen solid, but looks kind of like it's brownish. And lumpy.
Somebody vomited?
Chemistry on that, sir.
I shall draw this to the attention of Agent Belladonna. What do you think this looks like?
I will step over the tree and take an investigation on it, or take a look, should I say.
Yeah, it's vomit.
Is it?
That's frozen.
So glad it's frozen. Yeah. That would be vomit. I look him right in the eyes. And like my head comes up and looks at him like, it's vomit. Can it get any more disgusting? That's what I want to know.
Oh, you haven't gone into the box yet.
Right.
So I was someone approaching the edge of it and vomiting. Clearly having stepped over the tree after the damage. They've gone in, and whatever's in there has caused them to immediately vomit.
Won't skip Mills' porn collection.
Well, I mean, if it was Skip and he was getting sick and he came here to check it out after the alarm, he might have just been sick. It might have been something, though. I'm not going to say it's not, but he did report being ill.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Looking at everything that's in this, do we think we can fit it in the back of our four-wheel drive?
Take a lot of stuff. Hmm.
It looks spread out, though. This picture could be deceiving. You know, it doesn't look like that much on the picture.
Wouldn't we be better just moving it to another storage unit?
To answer your question, you might be able to make it in two trips if you were going to take it somewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have to see what everything is first, see if it's even useful. Or,
now realize, the room is freezing. There's still, snow that's drifted in on the floor. There's no heat. Things are possibly, especially if you're looking through it, you can see there's a bunch of yellow pads on the ground that look like they might be water damaged, some of them. It's hard to tell. There's a lot of frost on things.
I'm curious.
Well, one of our objectives was to inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So while we've got daylight, you know, we may want to think about going, a couple of people to the front gate, cranking it open, bringing our car inside so that it's not fully visible in the front of the, I don't want anyone to suspect us of looting. I don't want to draw any attention to this.
Let's start by taking some photographs of the scene as we found it.
Good idea.
The entire area is pretty much abandoned.
Okay.
Okay. Right now. And that's just because of the disaster.
No, agreed. Let's take some really high quality forensic style photographs. Use whatever you need for scale. Let's, left to right, front to back, watch your corners, grid style. Get some really good photographs, and then we can actually start moving it and taking it in inventory.
Mm-hmm. All right. About what you can do is you can take a bunch of photographs, which you do. Offhand, you don't really see anything strange. You're not touching anything yet, but I mean, it just looks like stuff. Okay, bags of stuff, a bag here, a box there, little bags of this, and like I say, there's yellow pads on the floor, and some of it's covered in snow, so you're going to have to dig through it. But
and we probably want some of Belladonna's gloves.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Open the duffel bag, pulls out a small box, and is like,
"No, she's
gloves more like, everybody. More than
life. For everybody."
She's like, "Screw you! These are my gloves." Okay. We'll come back to this picture when we need to.
Yep.
I'll probably send you a picture of it, so
okay,
you guys have that.
Okay. Really want to know where number 4 is.
Yeah, you can tell number 4. At first glance, number 4 just looks like a big chunk of wood or something, but it's got snow all over it, so you really can't tell at this point.
I think we should operate under the principle that if anything's in boxes and the boxes look like they've been sealed, then they can probably just stay sealed.
Agreed. There are things here probably tampered with,
then that's fine as far as I'm concerned.
Right. There are certain things here that are probably above our pay grade, or that we may not want to know about. So if it's sealed, leave it sealed. If it's, you know, stapled, leave it stapled. You know, let's just like big trash bag, done. Okay, another big trash bag, done. You know?
Well, I think we were specifically instructed to do inventory. So we have to open it to find out what's... Otherwise, we're done. We could say we're done right now. There's 5 boxes, 2 bags, and... I think, as I understood it, we were supposed to do a detailed inventory.
I just heard inventory, but, you know.
I mean, prior to moving it somewhere was what I meant, rather than I didn't think we'd be doing the inventory here.
I think it would be very impractical to do it here.
It's, right. I like the idea of moving it perhaps to an adjacent or nearby empty storage unit.
Well, they're all locked, so, and you have no way of knowing if they're full or locked, or if they're empty.
Well, usually, I've had stuff in storage, and if the locker is not occupied, it is unlocked. There is not a lock on the outside.
Okay,
well, we could always break it or pick it too if we really want to go next door. Or
well, and just I won't make you do an idea roll, but that wouldn't really be securing it either because. Here, they'd find that their records show this is supposed to be empty, and they'd open it up, and then they would find all of the stuff.
Well, this is just a temporary staging area. If we're going to take an inventory, we don't want to rush through it. We can do it at our leisure, you know, during the daylight hours. You know,
it's also unheated out here. So
I'm sorry,
it's unheated out here. So
I understand.
I would.
We're all big boys and girls here, and you know this is what we do.
Speak for yourself.
All right.
Small all right. And freezing. I say we get a motel, something where it's clean, and inventory there or something. I don't want to.
That's also an alternative, sure.
All right. So we have. We'll jump back to Agent Chemist and Agent
Nye. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it still says your old name on my wall over there. I have to change that now. So what are you guys going to do? You guys are standing outside getting a breather.
I say to Nye, I'm like, this is extreme, like, I understand that guy has needs and stuff like that, but it's really weird to have, you know, Bible verses and then, you know, doing all this weird stuff. And
after a bit of recovering outside, I'm going to go back in. I'm going to have gloves. I think I had gloves on last time, but I'm going to strip those gloves and put on a pair of new gloves.
Yeah, I also have gloves on too.
And I want to do a sort of a detailed search of his browser history.
Okay.
I want to see what type of, like, maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago, what sort of things he was looking at. What
sort of websites
he was going through.
Okay. Prior to the 3rd, there's no evidence of him looking at porn at all.
Okay. Are there websites of like some sort of religious type of a thing? Was it, you know, I'm trying to get a feel of what type of individual he was.
It actually seems to you that either he erased his browser history or he never used his work computer for personal.
It's sort of like a light bulb kind of clicked.
So let's put a few things together. The top of his desk was a mess, sloppy. Uncharacteristic of him, if you look inside of his desk and everything is nice.
It's all neat. Yes.
I'll go to the first website that he searched to see if there's anything that might have triggered this obsessive behavior.
Looks like he went to, I don't know, superjugs.com. I have no idea.
Is there a timestamp on that?
6:50.
Okay.
A.M.
All right. I'll go back into his emails. He said the last email he answered to was
6:45.
I'll pull that email up and see what the email is. If this is all relevant.
Very similar to all of his previous ones. Information about the disaster. Information about the power grid. When was power going to be restored? Who was working where? Things like that. Things all related to his job.
Okay. Well. Yeah, seems really weird that he would be like that. But I'm not going to judge the man. He obviously, yeah.
On his desk, was there anything like maybe an old cup of coffee or some sort of drink or something like that?
No, actually not. Although there is a coffee cup.
Anything in it, though? Or is it just completely clean?
I want...
It's actually dry and clean.
I want to search his like the inside of his desk for papers, anything that is relevant
to
just, you know, anything that catches my eyes, you know.
It's just work stuff.
Just work stuff. Does he have an address?
Yes. Yes. You find a number of things in here, pieces of mail and stuff with his address on them. Very neatly put where they're supposed to be. And
maybe I just tell us to deny. Maybe we should go check out his address.
I hear you. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk to the front door.
Or maybe we shouldn't go to his address if this is what his work is like. I don't want to imagine what's at his house.
I knock and I'll walk to the front door. I'll walk out and then I'll turn around and I'll come back in, and I'm trying to place myself in the headspace of this man that we don't know much of, but I'm trying to figure out how his day would go. It's about 6:30 a.m. It's wintertime, so it's still dark. I imagine he'd come in, turn on his lights. So I'm examining like the light switch to see if there's anything on that. Any sort of residue, anything strange.
In general, now with what you know, everything seems freaking sticky to you, and it's just you're kind of walking around with a handy wipe in your hand and not touching anything with your own hands.
Yeah, actually, I take gloves and I'm like, this is.
And you don't know if it's just dirt that was here before, or if, you know.
I'll run back out to, well, we don't have a vehicle. I'll try to use like maybe something like a Q-tip or something like that, and maybe a drop of water or something, and try to get a sample of this, and I'll hand it to the chemist. I'll put it in a plastic bag, hand it to the chemist, and
yeah.
I'll say, you get a chance, try to figure out the composition of this and see if it's human DNA.
Well, okay. Yeah, I should. I have a little portable kind of chemistry set, so I will, you know.
Well, it'll take you 20 or 30 minutes to set up.
Yeah.
So I'm walking around the office and I'm trying to look, and I mean, I guess I can roll a search for this, but I'm trying to look for something after being in this office. I'm trying to look for something that stands out, that particularly stands out.
Something that the only thing that you, I guess, it doesn't really stand out, but the thing that your mind keeps going back to is that picture of him and his mom on his desk, or his Nana, and what he looks like. He just looks like a regular, nice, everyday, average guy with an American flag and Bible verses.
Yeah, that's really, you know.
With a neat, orderly desk, who suddenly is masturbating at his desk.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're going to leave it.
All right. For next week.
Okay.
Say something else, but nope.
Well, our players included Lucas Glasshauer, Corey Heisted, Bill Mize, Mick Swan, Jeff Wilkins, and Wayne Worthy, with yours truly as the Keeper of the Secrets. Our musical intro, Digital Bark, was composed by Kevin MacLeod and is used royalty-free under a Creative Commons Attributions license. That's a hard one to say. We currently are producing four shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production
In order to create a richer listener experience, we provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Patrons of our show, very shortly, will be able to enjoy recordings of our pre- and post-game conversations. Some of the funniest and most interesting stuff occurs before and after the show. I haven't actually made one yet, but I'm collecting the material to make one. So very soon that'll be available. If you want to become a patron, visit our Patreon account. Just $1 or $2 a month helps us a lot. Like, share, subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows, and leave us some comments. We love hearing from you. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming club, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.